in everything I go through. Oh, he knows what's best for me. My Father knows what I... Let's sing it that way again. My Father knows what I need. My Father knows what I need. In everything I go through, oh, he knows what's best for me. My Father knows what I need. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Oh, he put that reassurance, put it way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
This is 333 in your hymn book. Would you rather have Jesus than anything? Amen. That song's been on my heart. I just love this message.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. Oh, than to be a king of a vast and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. This world affords today. Have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Let's try that last verse.
He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus.
You let stand. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh Lord, we lift our hand to worship.
You are
great.
Yes, you are great. Oh, you do miracles so great. Oh, there is no one else like you. And there is no one else like you. Lord, you are great. Oh, you do miracles so great. And there is no one else like you. Oh, there is no one else like
you. Amen. Can you give him a hand clap of praise this morning? He's worthy. Praise your name, Lord. Amen. Praise your holy name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 24 in your hymn book.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. Tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith. Jesus walks close to my side. I'm living by faith. It's in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From a harm saved in His sheltering. Earth some sweet day, our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed end. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Oh, from all harm saved in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm.
God bless you. At this time, we have a special from Brother Barry Weber.
On the green. I'm gonna rise up in the name of the Lord.
Amen. You appreciate that? Thankful God's still on the throne. This time we have a special from Sister Christy. Several people had asked her this week to sing this, so pray that it's a blessing to you, and God bless you.
You all are going to have to help me sing this. I've had a cold, but you all know it, so...
Save.
Amen. You appreciate our special singing? Amen. Amen. Have lots to read here, so we're going to have you seated for just a minute. Amen. God is good. Lord willing, we will have a baptismal service this evening for anyone who would like to be a part of that. And I have a testimony and an update to read. If Brother Hoover would make his way up here, as a couple testimonies to share. Update regarding Tiffany, the pedestrian that was hit in Salem that the church prayed for last Wednesday. She did not need a craniotomy to help reduce brain swelling. Her brain pressure has become stable enough for her to have surgery and to be scheduled for more surgeries that she needs. Thank you all for praying for Tiffany. She has an MRI scheduled to determine brain function. Our God is an awesome God. And we are hoping and continuing to pray for a full recovery, body, mind, and spirit. And that's from Sister Michelle Fowler. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd ask Brother Hoover if he'd give a couple testimonies before we read these prayer requests.
Well, praise the Lord. I feel faith building already. I'm looking at some people that are going to take that Enoch walk one of these days that are going to be changed like Sarah was changed. I just go ahead and do it this morning, Brother Jimmy.
Amen.
Amen. I can't think of anything that would be worth staying here for. Just to build your faith a little bit more, just a couple things that God did. I just happened to be close by when they happened, so I get to share the testimony. Many of you know, a couple Sunday nights ago, Brother Gary Simmons and Brother Steve Ricketts had an accident out here at the entrance to the parking lot, and somebody needed to ride in the ambulance to the hospital before Sister Ricketts could get there, so I jumped in there, and we kept asking him time after time, "What's your name?" I even said, "Brother Steve, what's your name?" And all we ever got was, "I don't know." Just a blank stare, "I don't know." And so I got to the hospital, and we had prayer before we left the parking lot. I had prayer in the emergency room. There was trauma cases coming in all around us and things, and I just laid my hand over on him and prayed. They kept asking him questions. We got him back to the room, asked him questions. Sister Emanuela and Sister Abigail showed up, and I said, "Brother Steve, who's this?" "I don't know." I said, pointed to Abigail, I said, "Brother Steve, who is that?" "I don't know." Sister Ricketts said, "Watch Brother Hoover," because she had seen this before. It happened in another accident. She said, "Who's Brother Branham?" He said, "God's prophet messenger to this age." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "What's Hebrews 13:8? He said, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." I said, "What's your name?" "I don't know." I said, "Who's this lady here?" "I don't know." I said, "What's my name?" "I don't know." So I text the brothers here, Brother Luke and Brother Layton. I text them and I said, "He still doesn't have his memory back. He doesn't know his wife or his daughter." And someone shared with me that right after I text that, Brother Nathan had the whole church go to prayer. And I would say it was within 2 minutes of us asking him their names, all of a sudden he's just laying there in the bed, and all of a sudden he starts looking around. He says, "You're Emanuela and you're Brother Hoover." And Abigail was standing behind him, so he didn't see her, so he didn't tell her what her name was. So then we began to ask him all kinds of questions, and he had memory of everything up until the impact. He said, "I just heard a loud boom." But from his testimony, there's no lingering effects or anything. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then the other testimony that I want to share, a couple of you all have been privileged to watch the devil attack me. I told Brother Nathan, I said, "He is a dumb devil." I said, "I don't know why the devil would want to attack someone in the middle of a prayer line with all these ministers around, but he has attacked me a couple of times." And the first time I found myself sitting there where Jared's sitting, and the next time I looked up and Brother Nathan's bent down over me praying. And I have to tell you, I've never heard Brother Nathan pray like he prayed over me that time. I've never heard him speak with that authority in a prayer line. And I didn't have any worries about it. But in September, I had been to the doctor, and I'd had some other issues. I wound up in the bed for 10 days and couldn't get out of the bed. And so mostly I'm just going to, confession's good for the soul. Mostly I'm going to confess. I went just to make my wife happy. Okay, but we went to the doctor and they took blood tests and everything. And they told me, get back here as soon as possible. Your sugar is out of control. And they said my A1C was 11.5. And they wanted to put me on insulin immediately. And I told the doctor, I told Jeannie, I said, I'm not taking insulin. I don't believe that I have diabetes. I've been told I had diabetes before. I've been diagnosed with hepatitis 3 times, and then they took another test, and it wasn't there. So I believe in false tests. But anyway, I said, I told the doctor, I said, look, I don't think I really need insulin. Just put me on some oral medicine, and I'll watch my diet, and I'll exercise, and I'll try to be good. And so about 10 days ago, I was supposed to go get my A1C checked in December, and things got out of hand. And so in January, I finally went, got my A1C checked, and they told me, they said, we'll know in about 6 minutes, which always before they told me I had to come back and get it. But anyway, so I'm sitting there, and as I'm sitting there, I just bowed my head, and I said, Lord, I'd be just thrilled to death if it was 8 to 8.5. And so I just sat there, and the lady come back in the room, and she said, Mr. Hoover. I'm like, oh, you know. She said, you've been a very good boy. I said, really? I didn't know that. No. And she said, your A1C is 6.8. And I just threw my hands up. I said, thank you, Jesus. She kind of looked at me and she said, yeah, I would be thanking him too. She said, that's not normal for it to drop that much that fast. I said, well, it wasn't me. It wasn't what I did. I did eat good. I did do my exercises. I did take my medication. But the glory and the credit all go to the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever you're facing today, whatever a doctor has told you, whatever the banker has told you, whatever your relatives or your family members have told you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is present tense right now. Not because I said so, because he said so. And he always keeps his word. Just believe.
Amen. You just keep your heart and mind on those last couple sentences Brother Hoover said as we read these prayer requests. Please remember Brother David Eplin's mom, Sister Phyllis, in prayer. She went to the emergency room with abdominal pains, and the CT scan showed multiple masses that the doctor says is consistent with lymphoma. They won't have the results back until Monday or Tuesday. Please continue to remember Sister Patty Hansel's friend Troy in prayer for a complete healing of cancer and restored kidney function. The pathology report from the biopsy shows that his bone marrow is producing bad cells that are leaking into his kidneys. From what they saw in the report, 1/2 of his blood cells are cancerous. Please continue to remember Brother Ron Spencer in prayer. He has been diagnosed with cancer in his lymph and both lungs. The doctors are extremely concerned and are acting very quickly. They have him scheduled for a very invasive surgery on February the 10th for a biopsy of his lungs to find out what type of cancer it is, and then they plan to begin immediately with treatment. Please remember Sister Patty Art in prayer. Her biopsy results show a diagnosis of breast cancer, but they seem to have caught it at an early stage. We are believing that the great physician will heal her through whatever means he sees fit to do so. Amen. Sister Tina Bryant's cousin Megan was in a terrible car accident a few days ago. She was recovering at her parents' home when she collapsed, stopped breathing, and she passed away. Please pray for her family to have peace and comfort during their time of loss. Brother Ben and Sister Crystal Wright will be traveling back from North Carolina this afternoon. Want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. Brother Japheth asked prayer for a friend's mother in India with kidney failure. Her name's Mrs. Raj. And I also want to remember Brother Morris Bryant in prayer. He is going to see his heart doctor as he is having difficulties breathing. And want to remember Glory Holmes, 18-year-old neighbor of Brother Chad Vaughn's parents. She had leukemia as a young child and has had a relapse of the disease and is expected to pass at any time. My, my. Please remember Marley in prayer. That's a 7-year-old with a brain tumor who is having surgery tomorrow. I actually work with his grandmother at the hospital, and he lives with her, but she asked if we would have prayer here at the church. So he had a couple seizures, and that's how they diagnosed him with a brain tumor. But believing that God can guide the surgeon's hand, and all will be well with that as well. God bless you. I'm going to ask Brother Nathan to come in prayer with these prayer requests.
Well, I kept getting prayer requests all week. Cancer, cancer, cancer. I'm tired of hearing that word. I don't know about everybody else. I've never heard a doctor say this, but Brother Branham said that a cancer and a tumor and diseases like that, they're fourth dimension diseases, and science has proved that because they can take CT scans and PET scans and things like that, and it shows up in that dimension where those things are taken. And so we believe that God's a healer. We believe whatever form that the enemy comes in to try to attack, whether it's spiritual or physical, whatever realm that he's attacking in, that he's more than able. And back in March of last year, I had got a prayer request from Brother Brian and Sister Dinah Beaver. Their little grandson, Oliver, had a cyst that had come up on his shoulder. I may have it wrong. I think Oliver's about 7 years old. Is that right? 7 or 8 years old. And about the size of a softball on his shoulder. So they came to church one Wednesday night and asked that I'd give them the handkerchief that I'd preached with and pray over it. I'm asked, Brother Furman, would you switch that over, brother? This is the before and after pictures of Oliver, of what God was able to do for him. We serve a mighty God. He's still the same God this morning. And I wrote down the ones that I knew about. There was a few he read that I didn't know about. But my sister-in-law laying there recovering from surgery from cancer. And Brother Ron Spencer laying there diagnosed with cancer. Brother David Eplin's mom, Sister Phyllis, laying there diagnosed with cancer. Multiple tumors and things that they found, growths in her body that they believe are cancerous. Sister Patty Hansel's friend Troy that they believe, unless God moves on the scene, doesn't look like a lot of hope for him. Sister Patty Ard, thank God they caught it in the early stages, but breast cancer. Different ones. Brother Furman mentioned a little boy, I believe it was, that's going to have surgery. And so many requests, so many needs. So many big problems. Life-threatening problems. But they're not as big as our God. And let's just stand together this morning. I want to have a word of prayer over these requests. Let's join our faith together. Sister Tina's dad, Brother George Hamilton, he's in the service this morning, just losing his niece. But I'm thankful we serve a God where we have a comfort that we know no matter what happens, we have a hope that we'll see them again. I don't know how people without hope, how they go on without the hope of the resurrection that we do, but amen. Let's join our faith together. Lord, hearing these testimonies of what you've done, Lord, we know that you're not a respecter of persons. We know that you're more than able, Father, to move on the scene for these requests. Lord, so many needs, cancers and tumors, and Lord, those that need traveling mercies, those that, Lord, have family members that, Lord, need salvation. Lord, those that facing decisions in their life and, Lord, facing surgeries and, Lord, facing things that maybe the doctors don't even know what to do with, Father, but we serve a mighty God. Lord, I pray for each one of these requests that I hold in my hand, Lord. We've heard testimonies of your healing power. Lord, we've seen you move on the scene and heal the sick. We've seen you heal cancer. We've seen you heal tumors. Lord, you're that same God. You haven't changed. Lord, we agree together for these requests, Father, that you'll just begin to move on the scene for each one. Satan is going about as a roaring lion, trying to upset and trying to attack. But Father, may you move on the scene in these situations. Lord, may you comfort this family, Lord, Brother George and his family that's lost this loved one, Father, at such a young age, 20 years old, Father. Lord, we don't understand, Lord, all things, but we know that you're sovereign and that you do all things well. So we trust in you, Lord. We know that you know what you're doing, Father. We agree together, Lord, for this situation, that you just bring peace and comfort, and then you would use it maybe, Lord, to get somebody's attention that's not ready, Father. Lord, you know all about it. Father, be with these that are facing surgeries or facing different treatments or whatever it would be, unless you come on the scene, Lord. We know that you're able. You heal many different ways, Lord. You heal through medicine, you heal through surgery, but you heal through divine healing and miracles as well, to where the doctor doesn't even have to touch the person. Lord, we've seen it, Lord. We saw the picture of little Oliver here, how you moved on the scene. Father, I pray that you just continue to move on the scene for these requests. May testimonies come forth, and we'll give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Brother Hoover, is that brother still here this morning that wanted prayer? There was a brother that had come in to the service and wanted prayer this morning. I feel like while there's an atmosphere of prayer and while the presence of the Lord here in faith building would just agree together in prayer, if the minister brothers would come and pray with me. Brothers would say, I'm sorry. We've got another brother we need to pray for. He's not sick in body, but Brother Aaron had not let me know quite yet when we had had some of the other brothers ordained here at the church, and then he had approached me a few Sunday nights later in my office and just said he had a call on his heart and was feeling led to minister, and then what a wonderful job he did watch night, and looking forward to what the Lord will do in his life and in his ministry. So we just want to pray for our brother this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for Brother Aaron, Lord, we've seen you use the gift in his life, and we believe, Lord, that you're anointing him and going to use him, Father, in a mighty way. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be with him, that you would do the leading and that you would do the guiding. Lord, that you would keep him humble. Lord, keep him a servant to others, Father. And Lord, may he just yield to you, to where you would speak through him whatever you'd have him to speak, and lead him where you'd have him to go, and have him to do whatever you would have him to, Father. Lord, may he be a vessel that you can work through, Father. Lord, we don't have anything that we can impart of ourselves, Lord, but we just pray that the Holy Spirit would come. And Lord, we know that gifts and callings are without repentance, but Lord, he's repented and he's been filled with the Holy Ghost, Father, and we pray that you would just give him unction of the Holy Spirit and just stir up this gift in his life, I pray. May he use it for your glory all the days of his life. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, my brother. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that together this morning. Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. Lord, you are more than enough for This morning. Amen. Truly, he's more than enough for whatever we would need. And well, I know we're starting a little later than normal this morning, and so I don't promise that we'll be any faster than we normally are, but I'll try and see if I can find an earlier stopping place. But just had a lot this morning, a lot of prayer requests and different things, a little bit different order of the service. Thank you, musicians. And I know we did things a little backwards of how we do it normally, and I'm sure that probably confused a lot of people, but just felt led to kind of do it this order this morning, the way that things were. And the Lord knows all things. And I want to speak this morning on a thought that I've actually ministered on here, I believe, once at the church before, but it has been many years ago back at the storefront, so most of you weren't there, and most of you that were there have probably forgot by now. But I want to look at this thought of two laws for two natures. And there was something that took place quite a few months ago, and I had got some questions regarding that. And so in facing that, Brother Trevor and I had had the question come up at some of the youth Bible studies, and then I'd had some individuals approach me and ask me some questions in regards to that. And so I thought the best way to handle that would be just to give it some time and see how the Lord would lead. And eventually I would preach a sermon on Romans chapter 7. And so then Brother Trevor this month felt led to have the young people go through Romans chapter 1 through 7. And I told him ahead of time, I said, you better hurry because I may be preaching that sermon on Romans chapter 7 pretty soon as well. And so I didn't promise him whether I would preach it before or after, but felt led just to have him go ahead and talk with some of those things with the young people. And then I don't think it'll be quite exactly the same direction that he went with it, although I'm sure we'll both touch on some of the same similar things. But just felt led to look at some things in the light of Romans chapter 7. And I think it'll encourage you this morning. Many times the devil wants to point to your flesh, and that can be very discouraging because this flesh is weak and it'll make mistakes. And Brother Bam said we're constantly falling. We'll read some quotes along those lines this morning. But God, as we talked I guess it was last Sunday, how God looks at the heart, and that God's perspective is different than our perspective. And so I hope that it'll encourage you this morning to find a balance. We also want to be careful because sometimes when you preach things like this, then if we're not careful, we'll lean, you know, instead of being too legalistic, we'll lean too far the other way and just become liberal and say, well, you know, just whatever I do, it doesn't matter. It does matter what you do. If you really love the Lord, you won't want to do things that are wrong. But yet if you make a mistake, I believe it was John and his in his epistles there, and we'll maybe look at it next week if the Lord keeps continuing this direction. He said in one place there, a man cannot sin and say that he knows God. And then he turns around and says, a man that says he doesn't sin is a liar. And then he brings and balances it out, and he explains what he means. And he says, little children, sin not, but if you do sin, we have an advocate. Amen. So if you're really born of God, the desire to sin is gone, but that doesn't mean that we'll never make a mistake again, because we will. Because this flesh never got the Holy Ghost. You can't find me a quote or a scripture where it says that the flesh got the Holy Ghost, but is the soul down on the inside of you. The flesh may be anointed by the Holy Ghost, and it may feel the presence and the inspiration and the anointing. I believe we've all experienced that here at different times, but that doesn't mean that the flesh got the Holy Ghost, but the soul down on the inside did, if you ever really got the Holy Ghost. So we want to look at this morning, two laws for two natures. In Romans chapter 7, verse 22, we want to read first this morning, then we'll backtrack a little bit through the chapter and the rest of the service, and I want to read portions of it from different versions of Scripture, and I hope that doesn't offend or shock or surprise you, but you can read right along with your King James as we do, and I believe, you know, that we should use the King James as our standard. I believe that we feel like that is the inspired word and that it's the infallible word of God, but there are some things that are said in the old English King James Version that are a little hard for us to understand, so some of the amplified versions and the Woost version that Brother Branham referred to in different versions like that sometimes break down some of those Greek words that were being used, and instead of just picking the one English word that the translator would choose by inspiration, it gives us some greater insight into what the prophet is trying to tell us there in Romans chapter 7. So Romans chapter 7 verse 22, and I apologize for keeping you standing so long, but you can be seated for a long time in a minute. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He delights in one law, and that's the law of God, but yet he recognizes that there's another law that's warring against the law of God, and that's the law that's in his flesh. And so we're going to look at that by the help of the Lord this morning. Let's bow our heads together. Jesus, we love you, Lord. We worship you, we adore you, we thank you for your presence, we thank you for your word. And Lord, now as I speak for a little while, I need your help, Lord, because without you, it'll just be a mess. But Father, if you'll come on the scene and you'll help and you'll lead and you'll guide, then I believe, Lord, maybe we can look into some of these things that would encourage us along life's way. And I just pray that you take complete control of this service. May it be for your glory, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. Many people, when they receive the Holy Ghost, they think, well, that's just it. No more battles. But that's not what the scripture or what Brother Branham, either one, teaches us. We find that that's when the battle really just begins. And questions and answers number 4, 1964. Brother Branham said, this is a dying spirit in a dying body. But now you can't be in two bodies at one time, but there can be two natures in you at one time. He goes on a little further, and he says in communion, 1965, this is the very last time that he would get up and speak in a service before the car accident there in 1965. And he says, I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. In their nature, I was a sinner. I came to the world a liar, and all the habits of the world laid right in me. And I know there's a large portion of the message believers that won't admit to this statement, but he said it whether they like it or not. He was a sinner saved by grace, just like the rest of us. And to me, what a miracle that was, that God could take a sinner saved by grace and use his ministry in the capacity that he did. What a miracle. What a wonderful thing it is. What a hope that it gives the believer that's born again, that God can work through us. Amen. Not the same ministry, but God can work through us in whatever ministry he's called us to. And so he says a little further, he says, but down in there too was another nature present. See, predestinated was in there by God in this same body. See, two natures in there. And maybe some of you as a young person, maybe at school, maybe it was hard for you to understand, and a lot of you maybe, you know, my wife teases me, I didn't have a whole lot of other people at my school to bully me, because it was just me and mom. I was homeschooled, and I didn't have any other brothers or sisters my age, so I didn't get a lot of peer pressure, but I did get bullied a little bit, Brother Javith. No, my mom didn't bully me, but you know, a lot of you that grew up in a larger school environment, maybe you would go to school and maybe there would be people there, good Christians and things like that, or at least under the name of Christianity. And yet you would find that there would be certain things that they would go to do, and it didn't seem like it bothered them at all. Didn't condemn them, didn't shock them, didn't disturb them. And maybe even they convinced you to do some of those same things, but your reaction was very different than their reaction. They'd go home and sleep just as nice as they could on their pillow, and you would go home and lay awake all night thinking, God, why did I do that? And you would feel guilt and shame, and you would feel conviction. And what a terrible life it was to live like that, knowing that there was a nature down on the inside of you that was wanting more of God, and yet this other nature, you were leaning to that nature without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You were prone to this other nature of the flesh, and so you kept falling into these things constantly, and yet something down on the inside constantly telling you, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't have said that, you shouldn't have stole that piece of candy, you shouldn't have cheated on that test. And everybody else doing the same things didn't seem to bother them at all, but it would just eat at you and eat at you and eat at you until one day you found yourself at an altar and you said, God, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of the desires to do the wrong things. And I'm tired of leaning this direction on the natural side of the tree. Lord, I need you to come and take control. I need you to come and live in me. And then God did something for you and you changed directions. And now, instead of just constantly going about doing things that you shouldn't do now, there was a desire in you to serve God and to learn more about him and to go to church. And then one day, all of a sudden, you made a big mistake and fell flat on your face. And the devil came along and said, see, if you'd really got the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't have did that. Well, boo, devil, let's just give him a black eye this morning, okay? Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, Paul is writing this to the Romans, and I didn't look up the exact year that it was, but it's many years after that he had the road to Damascus experience. It's many years after that he's gone and studied, and he comes out, and he's speaking the same thing as the disciples, even though he didn't consult with flesh and blood, but by revelation God gave it to him. How could he have got that revelation but by the Holy Spirit? And so here he is with the Holy Spirit writing Romans 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 15, in the Amplified, he says, for I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled and bewildered by them. I do not practice what I want to do. But I am doing the very thing I hate and yielding to my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity. So here now, Paul, he's leaning to this other nature now on the inside of him. He's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's not constantly feeding that other nature. He's wanting to serve God. His desire, his intent is to serve God. But he finds that when he would go to do these things, he said, I'm baffled, I'm bewildered, because I don't practice sometimes what I want to do. Anybody else can relate with Paul this morning besides me? Brother Branham speaking about the, you know, he tells the story about the Indian, Native American Indian man that Brother Billy Paul gave the prayer card to and wanted him to write what was wrong. He said, me sick. And he tells that story and he goes on in questions and answers number 4, 1964. And he says, somebody told me he had one time, was converted, received the Holy Ghost. And he said to him, how are you getting along? He said, pretty good and pretty bad. He said, well, how do you mean pretty bad and pretty good? He said, well, since me received the Holy Ghost, he said, there's been two dogs in me, one of them a black dog and one of them a white dog. I thought the Holy Ghost came to kill the black dog. But he's saying these two dogs are still warring inside of him. Why? Because if you really ever kill the black dog, there's only two ways to completely kill the black dog. And one, it'll put you in a coffin and put you in a ground or put you in an urn on somebody's mantle. That's one way. I know it sounds like two ways, but it's both the same way. It's just two different forms of what they're doing with you after you go that way. And then the other way is to take a body change. One of them's a black dog and one of them a white dog. And said they argue all the time. Said they growl and fight at one another. And said the white dog wants me to do good and the black dog wants me to do bad. Said, well, chief, which one of them wins the fight? Said that depends on which one chief feeds the most. So I think that's a good answer here. See, there just depends on the warring of the body that's in you. It depends on which one you cater to, which nature you cater to, the carnal nature after the things of the world, of the spiritual nature after the things of God. That does it. Which one are you feeding? Which one will you feed this week? Which one will you cater to? It can have a great impact on your life. Now, it's not going to have an impact. We're sealed. The Bible said, let's actually just read it here. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto, didn't say until the next time you backslide, didn't say until the next revival, until the next camp meeting, until Wednesday night comes around, you've sinned a lot Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday comes around, you get resealed. No, you're sealed if you ever really got the Holy Ghost until the day of your redemption. But Paul warns us, grieve not that Holy Spirit that you received, because there must be a way that you can grieve that away even though you received it. Remember, Brother Bam tells us in Lamb and the Dove that nature of the dove, it's soft and gentle, and when you get that old wolf nature begins to stir up inside of you instead of the lamb nature, and that dove will take its flight. Now, it didn't mean you lost the Holy Ghost. It meant that he couldn't stay there and put up with your old temper or whatever it was you was doing. So he doesn't leave you. He just flies a little bit away on a limb to watch over you. Many times we can't put up with ourselves, and we wonder, well, how could somebody else put up with us? How could the Holy Ghost even put up with us? Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. So we find that there are things, even after you receive the Holy Ghost, there are things that we can do that would grieve him away. I don't know about you. I'm not interested in grieving him away. I want to do everything that I can to keep him right here. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 16, again, this is in the Amplified Classic. It says, now if I do habitually what is contrary to my desire, that means that I acknowledge and agree that the law is good, morally excellent, and that I take sides with it. So he says, I'm habitually doing things that are contrary, but yet that's not my desire. My desire is to serve God. My nature on the inside is to serve God, but I keep falling into these traps of the enemy. I keep stumbling into things, and if I'm constantly doing that and I recognize that's not my desire, I don't take sides with the flesh and say, well, I had an excuse to do it. My parents were a certain way, or my pastor did this, and I'm going to blame the pastor or blame the deacons, or I'm going to blame this one that raised me, or this one that was at my school that did this, or I'm going to go through and I'm going to put all the blame on somebody else, and it's just how I am. And no, we're not going to agree with the flesh. When the flesh is contrary to the word, then we're going to recognize, hey, it's the word that's right and my flesh that's wrong. He said, I take sides with the law because the law is good and morally excellent. You ever have to stand and do that and recognize, I'm wrong? This guy, the flesh, is wrong. And this guy on the inside of the flesh is going to take sides with the word and not with the actions of the flesh. And I'm going to admit I'm wrong. Oh, that's hard for us to do, isn't it? Amen. Really hard. Somebody without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, almost impossible for them to admit I was wrong. Amen. Even us with the Holy Ghost, sometimes it just gets, oh my, if I say that, if I admit I was wrong, somebody's going to take me off of my big spiritual pedestal and they're going to recognize I'm human. Oh, if they've been around you very long, they've already recognized that you're human. But the law is morally excellent, and I take sides with it. Again, verse 17 in the Amplified. So now, if that is the case, then it is no longer I who do it, the disobedient thing which I despise, but the sin nature which lives in me. Again, Romans chapter 7, verse 18 to 19 in the Amplified Classic. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and the urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. For I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds that I do not desire to do are what I am ever doing. Anybody ever have a day like that? God, why? Why did I do that? Lord, you know that's not my intention. That wasn't my desire. That wasn't what I planned to do. But Satan set a trap for me. And here, I had it in my mind. I was going to start off. I was going to read my Bible and pray and have my first cup of coffee. And my day was going to go good. And before I made it to the coffee maker, all hell turned loose on my life. And I began to react wrong. And I began to do this. And I realized I forgot you, Lord, in the picture. I got too busy. And I forgot you. And I'm sorry, Lord. And you know that's not the desire of my heart, the way I talked to that telemarketer, or the way I treated that waitress, or the way I treated my spouse, or the way I answered that person sharply, or the way I disciplined my child in anger, or whatever it would be. Lord, that's not my desire. God, help me not to do it again. If you got the Holy Ghost, it'll make you admit you're wrong and make it right and not sit and quit and say, well, I guess I never got it in the first place. You'll get back up and you'll keep going. I'm not going to let the devil knock me down at 5 in the morning or 9 in the morning or 11 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon or whatever it is. I'm going to get back up and dust myself off and say, Lord, you know that's not my desire. You know my desire was not to do that evil deed. But here, it seems like my flesh keeps getting tripped up. And every time I turn around and something, you know my desire. You know what I said to you there in my prayer this morning. And here, before it was 2 hours after my prayer, I already made my first mistake. I already lost my temper in traffic. Preaching to angels this morning, I can tell. Oh, you can tell how much somebody is really prayed up and got the Holy Ghost when you sit with them in traffic for a few minutes. Oh, my. My, the enemy was testing my sanctification yesterday, Brother Hoover. My wife and I had got, you know, I checked the forecast. No rain, supposedly all day. And we had got some furniture that we wanted to go and try to sell. And we had got it all cleaned up and polished and touched up with wood markers and everything just right. And we went and borrowed a trailer from a brother and got it all loaded and, you know, tried not to pull any hernias out, lifting it all into the truck and got it all set up and ready to go and shut the gate and hit the road. And as soon as I put her in gear, the rain began to pour. And I'm glad some of you weren't in the car with me, because some of you probably would have had a harder time respecting me as your pastor afterwards. It's bad when your wife amens something like that, isn't it? No, I didn't cuss, and I didn't cut anybody off, and I didn't shake my fist in the air and yell at God, but I wasn't happy, and I may have hit the horn very, very distinctly at one point. But that wasn't my plan for the day. I wasn't planning to act like that. But I was about to preach on Romans 7, and I guess God just wanted me to see it in action. Come on. Romans chapter 7, verse 20 in the Amplified. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want to do, I'm no longer the one doing it. That is, it's not me. that acts, but the sin nature which lives in me. Again, verse 21 in the King James Version. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, a lot of people have taken this verse and they think that's their spouse. When I get ready to do good, evil is present right there with me. But he's not talking about your spouse. He's talking about your nature. I find then a law that when I would do good, when the Holy Spirit down on the inside of me would go to do good. Brother Bram talked about it in Thirst in 1965. He said, whenever he tried to go do something, plan a meeting or whatever it be, he said, you just watch and see. The kids will be fussy. The phone will be ringing off the hook, whatever it'll be. Anything to interfere and upset, he said, don't. He said, then the devil will come and say, well, if it was the Lord, it would all just run smoothly. He said, usually that's the best sign that it is of God, because the devil's trying to do everything he can to stop you. And so many times we get something in our heart. Lord, I want to do something for you. Lord, I received an experience at church the other night, and I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to be different. I'm going to talk different. I'm going to walk different. And you know what? You do. And the desire on the inside of your heart, if you really got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you really had an experience with God and he turns your direction, you go out there and you do. And then one day the devil comes along and sticks his foot out right in front of you, and you're so busy with everything else, looking to the left and to the right, you don't see it, and you trip and fall flat on your face. And somebody at your work said, I thought you was a Christian. I thought you said you got the Holy Ghost the other night. Uh-oh. And then you're ready to roll up your sleeves and fight them in Jesus' name. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. See, this is why just the legalistic mindset of going through the motions and doing all the works and things without the Holy Spirit there to quicken that word, you'll be the most miserable person that you could ever imagine. Because now, not only are you fighting with this sin nature without the Holy Spirit coming down and having that nature, that white dog that wants to fight and try to hold that thing back, and you keep feeding that and saying prayed through and prayed up and staying in the Word and keeping your mind on the things of God, then if you don't have that, then this other one is going to constantly be winning. And yet you try, I tried to do all the good works, Brother Nathan. I had a good intentions to come to church, and I had good intentions to do this, and I had good intentions to live right, and I tried that holiness lifestyle for a while, and I just couldn't do it. Well, yeah, you can't do it. I can't do it either. Brother Branham couldn't do it. Paul couldn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. Brother Branham said, what Moses lacked, the burning bush had. Amen. And we're lacking something. As I said recently, a quoting, I can't remember who it was said it first, but one of these men probably back there in the man age, the intellectual, bringing out some of the things of the Word that really stirred up people's hearts and got them focused back on God and back on his Word, made the statement that there's a God-shaped hole on the inside of all of us. And until you fill that God-shaped hole with God, you can try to fill it with it. You can try to force a pack of cigarettes in there. You can try to force this and force that and force relationships and force alcohol and force anything you want to try to do. It'll never fill that God-shaped hole. And you'll be miserable until you just say, God, I need you to come and fill this because I'm lacking something. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Again, Romans 7:22 in the Amplified, for I joyfully delight in the law of God in my inner self with my new nature. And again, verses 23 to 25 in the King James, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This is St. Paul. First church age messenger, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, probably sitting in a prison writing this for the cause of Jesus Christ, being persecuted, but yet he recognizes there's still too much of Paul left in Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, I won't ask everybody to do this, but you just do it in your mind. And I would say in your mind, just raise your hand mentally if you've got the Holy Ghost. And then be real honest with yourself and raise your hand again if you ever feel like you got too much of read your name in the blanks there left in you. Well, some of you is raising your hands not just mentally, but... Got the Holy Ghost, but yet there's still that Nathan Bryant nature in there too that I was born with. It didn't completely die because, yeah, he's still breathing. This flesh is still breathing. And until I take a body change, Nathan Bryant is going to weigh down the inner Nathan Bryant. The Nathan Bryant, the outside man, the flesh, is going to constantly... Brother Branham said even when it came to good spiritual things, he said, you know, he would go and going to go down to the tabernacle and preach, and Brother Neville maybe be waiting to see if he was coming or not. And he said the devil would come and say, you're too tired. You're too weak. Your voice is too hoarse. You did this. You did that. You've been too strained. And he said that's the flesh says all that. You're too tired to go to church. You're too weak to preach. You got too much of a strain on you. Why don't you let some? And he said, but yet then something on the inside says, no, go on down there anyhow. I love to give the devil a black eye in moments like that. So it comes down to who are you going to listen to and who are you going to allow to be on the control tower. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Brother Branham says in Why We're Not a Denomination in 1959, he said, boy, one, how many believes Brother Branham had the Holy Ghost? Amen. Somebody said, once you get the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry anymore. Oh no, you got the Holy Ghost in mind. You don't have to worry about falling into any sin, or you don't have to worry about looking at the wrong things or doing the wrong things. The Holy Ghost, it will lead you and guide you. It will, if you'll yield to it. It will, if you'll feed that nature. But you quit your prayer life and you start feeding the other nature, and before you know it, the old Nathan Bryan or old whoever you are will start to raise his head up again and take residence, and before you know it, instead of just saying, you know, well, I stumble once in a while, and then the Holy Spirit convicts me, and I ask God to forgive me and gets me back up, before you know it, you're just stumbling all the time because you're yielding to the wrong nature. So we believe Brother Branham had the Holy Ghost. Here we looked at Paul, first church age messenger, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at the seventh church age messenger, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why We're Not a Denomination, 1958. Boy, one ill-famed woman can send more people to hell than all the bootleg joints you could put in a city. That's right. Watch her go down the street with her clothes all stripped down. Don't care who the man is. Don't care who the man is. Didn't say, now, if he's got the Holy Ghost, this is no longer a problem. You don't have to worry if you got the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to all the sinners in the city. He said, don't care who the man is. If he's a healthy, normal man, when he looks at the woman, he's bound to have something pass over him. Now, just be honest. I don't care. I've had the Holy Ghost for years. You can't look at a woman and her half dressed. I carry a little cross in my car. Many of you seen it. If Brother Branham had the Holy Ghost and he didn't have to worry about temptation, he didn't need no cross in his car, but he had a cross in his car. A lot of us brothers, it behooves us to have about 20 all around, peripheral, back, forward, all sides. He was a lot more spiritual and closer and a more anointed and a higher calling than I. He had one cross hanging in there, but I probably need 20 all around me. And it's also a lot darker, more evil age than his age. They was going out in shorts and things like that, and he condemned that. Now they're going out in tights, forgetting their shorts and their skirt and everything else. He talked about the pants, how that you could see every form of the body and stuff. What would he say that today when they walk out with their tights on and a shirt that doesn't cover their belly, and they're lucky if they got that much on? Oh. I don't care how much you got the Holy Ghost, there's still temptation out there. And you can see something like that in a grocery store, and you can either say, God, help me to look away and look over here at the tomato cans, or you can start following that person up and down the aisles and seeing, well, I wonder what type of cereal they eat, and maybe try to strike up a conversation with them, and the devil take it and run with it. You have a choice of which dog you want to feed. Amen. If there's no cross hanging there, look at a tomato can or a chicken noodle soup can or something. Turn your eyes. Look to Calvary. Say, Lord, I see this red tomato soup, and I think of the blood of Jesus Christ, or whatever you got to do. Right. Do something spiritual. A man said he went on an air balloon ride. I think it's the man that wrote, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. And he said he went on an air balloon ride with his wife one time and another couple, and they got in the air balloon. He wanted to take his wife for her birthday, but he was scared of heights, and he got in the balloon. And here he was, a pastor, and this other couple barely knew them. And he said they started to go up in the air, and he asked the young man, said, how long you been doing this? And he was hoping to hear, oh, I've been doing it for years. He said, this is about my third time up. And he said, when they began to get up higher, some things began to go wrong. And the boy said, I've never experienced this. I'm not sure exactly what to do. And the man turned to him and said, you're a pastor. Do something spiritual. He said, so I took up an offering. I carry a little cross in my car. Many of you have seen it. Church in its condition, 56. I look at the cross instead of looking and remember what Christ did for me and turn my head to the things that's of the devil. He says again in Believing God, 1952, this outside is sin. Do you know that? Do you know that your body's sin? That's the reason. Don't try to perfect that body. It's sin. Did you know that? Now, the problem with a lot of us, not me, but the problem with a lot of us, we spend so much time at the gym trying to perfect the outside that we spend more time with the weights and the pulleys and the treadmill than we do on our knees somewhere in prayer. And that's nothing. Hey, Paul did say bodily exercise profiteth a little. So I'm not again. I think we should all try to be more healthy. But when you're so concerned about the outside man, but you're not feeding the inside man, it's going to go terribly wrong. You don't have to worry. You'll never perfect this outside body. He'll never be perfect. She'll never be perfect. But there's something about it. He says, it was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. And that soul is the same way until the soul died and then was born again of God. Then that soul can't die. Remember, he said, the scripture said, blessed is he that hath no part in the second death. Well, those that have been born again of the Spirit of God, they can't have part in the second death, because Brother Bam said in the Church Age book, that is the death of the soul, and that soul can't die that's been born again. But so when that old nature, that old soul that was in you, it begins to die out to the things of the world, and now this new nature comes inside of you, you think, oh, everything's going to be okay. My old nature died. Yeah, your old soul nature, your old desire died. But this flesh never died. And there's a law of the Word of God that's working in your soul, but there's a law that's working in the flesh at the same time. And the flesh says, I don't want to go. I'm too tired to go. I don't want to pray for that guy that despitefully used me. I don't want to walk up and forgive that guy that slapped me in the face. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go down to that church where there's somebody there that thinks evil of me. And oh my, you let the devil keep you out of church over things like that, and he'll put 50 people in the church that thinks evil of you. I don't come to church because of who else attends. You know, I love Brother Hoover, but going to church isn't about me and Brother Hoover. Going to church is about me and Jesus. Amen. Going to church shouldn't even just be about you and the pastor or you and the song leader or whoever. We come not to just get closer. I can go down to some club or some membership or down to my own homeowners association or something like that and get closer fellowship with people. But I come to church to get into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. And the devil is going to be sitting there to try to raise up something to hinder that, to try to put somebody there that, oh, well, they're there, and I don't know if I can stomach to shake their hand. Well, sounds like you need to die out to that flesh a little bit more. Believing God, 1952. It'll war all the time, a constant. Paul said, we'll never get more than he, see. Paul said, when I would do good, then evil is near me, see. And there's a constant war, the flesh against the spirit. Again, questions and answers number 4, 1964. And as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. But the inside of you, you're born again. You mean the sticky nature didn't just leave when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If somebody that tells you that, you'll have a hard time ever admitting that you got to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you'll be constantly wondering, now, Lord, did I get it or didn't I get it? And we've had so many people around the message that I believe have had the Holy Spirit. They were born again. They became a new babe in Christ. But instead of being able to spiritually mature, because Brother Bram said men aren't born men, they're born babies. And that little spiritual babe in Christ, then somebody comes along with their legalistic ruler and smacks them on the hand and says, now, wait a minute, you didn't do it the way I said you should do it. And they think, oh, well, maybe I didn't have the Holy Ghost all along because I didn't do it the way Brother so-and-so said I should do it. I guess back to the altar again to try to get it again his way. No, don't come and get the Holy Ghost Nathan Bryant's way or any other minister or person or good spiritual person in your family or your mommy or your daddy. You don't come and get it our way. You get it this way, the way of the Word. And when you're born again, it doesn't do away with temptation. It doesn't do away with stumbling. It doesn't do away with having to ask God to forgive you for something. But what it does do is it takes away the desire that once that was all you desired and that was all you craved. Now the desire changes, and the desire, instead of run after cigarettes and women and alcohol and drugs, now the desire is, God, get me in your presence. God, get me into a greater consecrated life. Get me into more of your word. And the flesh is still dragging you down, saying, you'll never be able to do that. You're too tired. You're working too much overtime to pray. God won't tell you that, but the devil will. You're too busy to go to church. You don't have time to listen to tapes. How are you going to read your Bible and pray when you got all these tests to take at school? Oh, the devil will tell you that, but God will never tell you that. As long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky, he says, and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. Now, we do not use this. If we're not careful, you preach something like this, and then people use it as a license to sin. Paul said, what shall I sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Amen. What we need is more of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Brother Bam said when he would go to Finland and places like that, he didn't have to stand there with his fist back and say, now listen here, Sister Branham, when I go, thou shalt not have any other boyfriends before me. And she didn't have to stand there with a stick saying, don't you go have any dates with any other women while you're over there in this other country. He said, even if I knew that I could do it and that she'd forgive me for it, he said, there's something down on the inside of me that I love her so much that I wouldn't want to do it and hurt her. And if you don't have that kind of relationship with Jesus, then I question the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. Now, I don't question the Holy Ghost in you because you make a mistake, but I question the Holy Ghost in you if you don't love Jesus Christ enough that when you do make a mistake, it doesn't condemn your conscience. That's when we need to be worried. Hey, there's many things I'm ashamed of. I thank God that I'm ashamed of them. I thank God. I don't thank God that I did them, but I thank God that I'm ashamed of them. That there's something down on the inside of me that says that was contrary to what you should have done, and I'm ashamed of it. I thank God for condemnation, that I get condemned sometimes. I thank God I should have handled that situation different. I don't think, oh my, I wish the condemnation would leave. I thank God that he brings condemnation to get me back where I need to be. Then when we have to worry is when we don't love him enough to have any condemnation or have any conviction or have any sorrow or guilt of what we've done. No, but the nature is always going to be sticky and carnal as long as you live. It's always going to be warring against the Holy Ghost inside of you. It's always going to be there to try to set a trap for you. Now, it may not even be something that's sinful in the form of an act of sin, but Brother Branham talks, we'll look at it in a moment. Let's just go ahead and read it. He talks about a minister and his wife, that they were sitting there in his office and they were dealing with nervousness, and the devil just had them all tore up and all upset and all worked up because of nervousness in their life. And he tells us that the devil has one punch that's coming to you. Christ is revealed in his own word, 1965. He said, I was just talking to a young minister and his wife in the room just a few moments ago, and both of them are nervous, just like the rest of the world, rest of the human beings on earth. I said, remember, Satan's got a punch coming at you. Don't care who you are. Once again, he doesn't say, now, until you got the Holy Ghost, Satan's got a punch coming to you. Don't care who you are, Satan's got a punch coming to you. God, he's got a right for that one punch, which had you rather be? That punch be blind or be arthritic, sitting in a chair, or be nervous? See, he's got somewhere he can punch you. Now, maybe that punch is lust, or maybe it's temper, or maybe it's cigarettes, or maybe it's alcohol, or maybe it's stubbornness, or maybe it's nervousness, or maybe it's oppression, or maybe it's depression. Or maybe it's some sickness in your body like Paul had, that he said a minister from Satan would come and bother him and afflict his eyes, and he prayed three times, God, deliver me of it. And he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. But Satan has somewhere that he can get in and jab at you to try to get you upset. There's some people, you know, a lot of times we look and we think, my, I'd sure like to trade trials with brother so-and-so. Don't seem like he's got... Well, maybe you walk a mile in brother so-and-so's shoes and you think, Lord, give me my trials back.
because you weren't conditioned to go through Brother So-and-so's trials. I look at some people, that go through so many different sicknesses and afflictions and things. I think, God, I thank you that I didn't have to go through that. And maybe they couldn't handle the pressures that I go through. I don't know what, but there's some punch that Satan has to get at you. Remember, the brother was telling the testimony the other day. I think it was Brother Morris when I was down there in Liberty was talking about Fanny Crosby and how that she said that God had taken what seemed like a curse, her blindness, and God had turned it and used it to be such a blessing, where she wrote thousands of songs, and so many, in fact, that people began to doubt that she had actually wrote that many. So sometimes she would write them under an assumed name, some other name, so that they wouldn't criticize her for writing so many songs. And God had blessed her, and she had this time to sit there and be under the inspiration and write songs and do these things that she would have probably never went that way if she had had her sight. So the very thing that God, it looked like, had allowed to be a curse to her became a blessing. But that was a punch. He said, where would you like your punch be? Sitting arthritic in a chair, or be blind, or be nervous, or have a temper, or whatever it would be. He said, he's got somewhere he can punch you. He's got a right to that open place. Now that's the spot you have to keep covered all the time. And to see this nervous age that we're living in, that spot, if we'll all be honest with us, we know wherever it is that Satan fights us. Well, some of us, it's music, and you begin to dabble in a little bit of that worldly music, and then before you know it, you're just hog wild with everything, or maybe some of you, it's looking too long at the wrong thing, or whatever it be, but you begin, or maybe it's you get frustrated and stressed, and your temper begins to rise up, or whatever it would be, but you know these punches that the devil has coming to you, and so you've got to constantly keep that spot covered over. How are you going to do it? Cover it over in prayer. God, help me. God, you know I struggle with this. God, you know my flesh is weak. But God, you also know you changed my soul down on the inside. And my soul doesn't want to act that way. My soul wants what is pleasing to you. Hebrews chapter. Actually, let me go back and catch this one that I missed. Skipping ahead there. Revelations chapter 5, part 2, 1961. Now, Satan will constantly punch at you until you're finished here on earth. Just remember, you'll never have a time but what there's a punching going on all the time, because you're in a battle. So after you got the Holy Ghost, he's still punching, but your response can be different than what it was before you got the Holy Ghost. If you keep feeding the right thing, keep focused on the right thing, keep prayed up, keep asking God to do the work and God to do the help. Hebrews chapter 6, part 3, 1957. Certainly the devil will trap him here and there, but not willfully. The Bible said the devil will trap him now and then. Sure he will. He tried to throw traps for our Lord Jesus. He did to Moses and caught him. He did to Peter and caught him. He did to many. But Peter even denied him. But then he went and wept bitterly. There was something in him. See, there were hundreds and thousands of others standing there denying Jesus and crying, crucify them, crucify him. But Peter had a different reaction than the rest of them, because there was something down on the inside of him. Now, he didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet, but it was coming a few days down the road. And there was a predestinated seed down there on the inside that when he did this, he reacted different than the rest of them. You never hear Caiaphas going and weeping bitterly for what he did to Jesus. No, but there was something on Peter down on the inside here. He denies him and he turns and he looks and he hears the cock crow the second time there. And Jesus turns and looks at him. Can you imagine when their eyes met? And he looks into these eyes, and he just said, he got adamant about it. He got his spiritual dander all worked up, and he said, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll even go to death with you. And here he's denied him three times. And he hears the rooster crow, and he turns and looks, and Jesus looks at him as if to say, I tried to tell you, Peter. Have I ever been wrong about anything else I ever said? Why would I be wrong about you? And Peter turns, and he weeps bitterly. And Peter pretty much gives up on himself, like a lot of us do when we make a big old fat mistake like he did. And he said, I'm just going to go fishing. I can't minister anymore. I can't do these things. I don't even understand. The one that I thought was Messiah is gone. I give up. I'm going back to my old fishing job. I'm so confused and tore up and distraught. I'm so emotionally distressed, and I'm so beaten down. I made the biggest mistake of my life. How could you be that stupid? Talking to himself. Peter, why would you do it? Don't you remember who you said he was? By revelation, God showed you. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. How could I deny him? And he gives up and goes back to his fishing job. And then one day, a lady comes running and knocks on the door, says, "He's risen." I said, "Oh, go on now. What are you trying to tell us?" No, he's risen. The Romans think we took his body, but I talked to the other disciples. They didn't take nothing, and I saw him, and I saw his angels. And oh, by the way, Peter, they said to tell you, amen. Called your name personally. Yes. Why? There was something down on the inside of Peter that made him different than Caiaphas and all the rest of them. Now, Paul, here he is with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, he tells the Corinthians that he had to die daily. He says, "I die daily." Now, Brother Branham picks it up in Questions and Answers, Part 1, 1954, and he says, "But you're constantly falling." Uh-oh. I'm glad he could admit that we are. Most of us are too self-righteous to admit that we're constantly falling. But you're constantly falling. Paul had to die every day. Is that right? He had to die every day, repent every day, and just constantly repenting all the time, seeing if Paul had to do that, then I'm going to have to too, aren't you? That's right. Amen. I got my hand up, Brother Brandon. Hebrews 7, part 2, 1957. "Now, you will do wrong, but you don't do it willfully," see? You're trapped, and anything you're trapped into or something that you don't mean to do, it's not sin yet. You'll repent the minute you see that you've done wrong. See? The minute that you see that you're wrong. See the difference between a Holy Ghost-filled person and somebody that's not Holy Ghost-filled? They're both fallen. They're both making mistakes. But one, the desire on the inside is not to do that. And the other one, the desire is constantly, "Oh, I got to go over here and get in there. I got to go to this party and I got to go over here and do this. I got to find the latest, greatest thing. This drug I've been taking isn't knocking anything. I got to find a bigger, greater drug. I got to find a harder, more proof alcohol. I got to do this. I got to have more nicotine. I got to have more packs a day. I got to have this. I got to have," and that's constantly their desire. And then all of a sudden, their desire changes and it's for more of God. And yet they still will make a mistake every once in a while. But they'll quickly repent of it and say, "God, I was wrong. God, I'm ashamed of myself. God, I shouldn't." I know a lot of you haven't been taught this, and you're sitting here looking at me like I got horns on or something, or a big antenna. I'm reading you what the prophet said and what the scripture said. You don't mean to do it. It's not sin yet. You'll repent the minute you see that you're wrong. You'll turn quickly and say, "I didn't see that." You'll say that all through life. Maybe some of you won't be honest enough to raise your hands, but I'll admit I've had to say that all through life. "God, I'm sorry. God, I didn't want to act that way. God, I didn't mean to do that." You say, "Why haven't we heard more preaching like this in message churches?" Because a lot of message preachers aren't willing to be as transparent as the prophet that set the example for us, or St. Peter, or St. Paul, or different ones. You'll say that all through life. A man don't want to be, that's the reason, I love the way he words this, so simple, but it's true. A man don't want to be, that's the reason that we are so stupid and so in dark down here on earth, that there's a blood atonement for us all the time to keep us covered. Aren't you thankful for that? "Lord, I'm so stupid sometimes, and I'm walking down here in the dark, stumbling over this trap and stumbling over that trap, but thank you, God, that there's a blood atonement for me to keep me covered." Oh, God, help us. Questions and Answers, Part 1, 1954. But on backsliding, remember, you backslide every day. There's no way at all for you to keep out of it. I know that's hard for some of us to swallow down. I don't think he's talking about you're going out here and buying you a big case of alcohol or drugs or cigarettes or something like that. Oh, if you're stumbling with that and constantly having that besetting sin or something, your nature hasn't changed. But even once your nature has changed, the devil can set a trap and you'll go further than you wanted to go because the flesh nature will begin to take you that direction, and then something will get a hold of you and convict you. You'll say, "Oh, God, help me. What was I thinking? How could I be so stupid? How could I be so blind? Forgive me, Lord." And you'll go quickly and make it right. The unconverted won't do that. They're too proud. They'll find a loophole. "Oh, I don't have to apologize. I had a reason to do that. That was so-and-so's fault." They'll blame it on somebody else. But the Holy Ghost will quickly convict you, and you'll say, "God, I'm so ashamed. I know we're running out of time, and I'm trying to wrap this up, but let me get a couple more things in here. before we close. What went he out to see? 1959. When you make a mistake, a real soldier is ready to rise and try again. There used to be a little song we sing, if I fall or if I fail, something or other, let me rise and try again. Forgive me, Lord, and try me one more time. He said, I've prayed that so much to God that I'm ashamed of myself almost. Oh, my, of everything I know about Brother Branham's life, I think, my, if he prayed this so much, he was ashamed of himself. How ashamed should we be? If I fall or if I fail, let me rise and try again. Forgive me, Lord, and try me one more time. He says, I've prayed that so much to God that I'm almost ashamed of myself. Let me rise and try again, constantly falling at each time. Why? He's been merciful to help me to come back again. Yeah. Now, if we just look it over, there isn't an hour through the day hardly, but what's something we do that's wrong? Well, I'm glad I didn't have to just get up here and tell you that about myself, but I'm glad he said it about himself too. And I hope you can admit it yourself. Hardly an hour through the day, but what something we do that's wrong. Now, he's not just talking about, oh, Lord, I didn't mean to walk down to the gas station and buy me another pack of cigarettes. And then I looked down, there it was in my hand, and I lit it up. And I thought, oh, Lord, here I've smoked through that whole pack again today. And forgive me, Lord, I don't want to do that. And I'll just keep this other one in my pocket for later if maybe the temptation rises again. Maybe the devil will set a trap for you. Maybe somebody will stand in there beside you and hand you one right over to you. And before you know it, maybe you take a puff of it. I don't know. I don't know how far God will let you go. But I know if you do, you'll get conviction real quick and you'll say, God, why did I do that? And if you got the Holy Ghost, you won't keep going out and doing it day after day after day like a besetting sin, because the desire is gone. But that doesn't mean that the temptation can't be there and that a trap can't be there. You say, I don't believe that, Brother Nathan. I don't believe a Holy Ghost man could ever draw a puff on a cigarette again in their life. What about telling a lie? You think a Holy Ghost man could do that? Is that worse than taking a single puff off of a cigarette, or is that better? I don't know. Break out your sin meter this morning. Some of you say, oh, I don't know, that lie could have been worse than a cigarette. And some of you say, oh, no, that's defiling the temple of God, the cigarette. There's no big sin and little sin to God. And I love that a prophet of God was so transparent that he would say that the angel of the Lord turned to him when he went to pray for that baby and said, you told a lie. Now, to us, we would have watered it down and said, well, he really, what he did was, it was kind of just a little white lie, and he really wasn't there. He left and went out the door and just told Sister Mita to tell him that he's not there right now, and he wasn't by the time she told him. We would have tried to justify it and cover it up, and especially if it was ourselves, we would have. But here he is standing in the presence of the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord didn't sugarcoat it. He said, you lied to that man. And I won't honor your prayer until you go back and make it right. And I thank God that here a man with the Holy Ghost didn't say, don't you know what all I've gone through with this tax case? Don't you know I'm about to lose my mind? What do you expect me to be, superhuman? You expect me to be an archangel? Am I not flesh and blood? I ain't going to go make that right. I had a reason. I had an excuse. But quickly he turns and he goes. And he says, look, picks up the phone, calls that lawyer, says, look, I said something that was wrong, and I hope you haven't lost confidence in me over it. The man said, like any true Christian will, when somebody else makes something right, he said, I've got more confidence in you now than I ever did. Right. Hearing things like that, you know, people get their toes all curled up in their shoes when you go to talk about something like that. I love things like that about the prophet of God. I can follow a man like that. I can't follow a man that can't admit that he's ever wrong. Unless it's Jesus. I can follow Jesus. He was never wrong. But I'm talking about a sinner saved by grace, breathing the same oxygen that we're breathing. I can't follow a man that'll never admit that he's wrong. Brother Branham said that man went down to Ballard and Ballard and applied for a job. And he said the man, when he began to fill out the paperwork as he was applying for his job, the boss of the company said, wait a minute. He said, let me get you a different pencil. He said, I see the pencil you're using doesn't have an eraser. He said, oh, I take all the erasers off of mine because I don't make mistakes. He said, well, I don't want you to work for me. I can't use you. Because if you don't make any mistakes, you'll never do anything. That's the only way you can never make a mistake, to never do anything. I've got more respect for a man that'll try, and even if he fails, get back up and try again. I love also of this story, I'll just go back to it briefly and I'll get off of it so some of you's heart can start beating at the normal pace again. But I love that when he goes and he makes that right with the lawyer, that God didn't make him and make that little sick baby sit there for about 37 days like some of us would have done, and make sure that they were really repented up, really good, and everything was all right. But he leaves right there for making that phone call, and he goes and he says, "Could I have the baby again? Everything's okay." And the angel of the Lord comes and honors his prayer and heals the baby. We feel like the blood of Jesus has to take some time to saturate. It's had 2,000 years to saturate. It doesn't need any more saturation time. It just needs you to accept it. There isn't an hour through the day hardly, but what's something we do that's wrong? And now there's no little ones or big ones. They're all big ones before God. So if Apostle Paul had to die daily, how much more will we have to die daily? See, and then I think, a person that has done something wrong and is willing to make it right, the real Christian attitude is to forgive that person. So when somebody comes to you and they've got something, I got to make right, and you stand there, "I don't know if I could forgive you that." Well, maybe you should rewind a few minutes or a few hours and think about what God forgave you for, and maybe it'll help you extend some grace to them. Revelations 4, part 1, 1960. Oh, it pays us, my brother, sister. It behooves us as sons and daughters of God to check up on ourselves every hour of the day. Let me read you one more quote as the musicians come. Israel and the Church, part 2, 1953. "And why, sure, you'll make mistakes and fall, but you can't stay down. Because no more than you could make a stalk of corn a sycamore tree, you can't do it. Jesus said, 'By their fruits you shall know them.' You have everlasting life." Now, Jesus said there's only one way to receive everlasting life. That's, you must be born again. And he's saying you'll make mistakes and fall, but you can't stay down. You have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the word. Amen. Don't use this morning as a license to go out and sin. Say, "Well, Brother Nathan said I'm going to make mistakes, so here I go." Yeah, and Brother Branham also said you don't do it willfully. But sometimes Satan will catch you in a trap. Paul said you don't do it willfully, but sometimes Satan will catch you in a trap, and you have to turn and say, "God, I need you to forgive me. I need you, Lord. I need your grace. I need your mercy." That don't take away the Holy Ghost from you. You still got the Holy Ghost, but you may have just grieved him away a few feet till you can repent and make that thing right. Oh, he's ready to come right back. He doesn't make you wait 3 years to prove yourself that you're all squeaky clean and legalistic. He's ready to fly right back, but he can't do it as long as you're holding that back saying, I'm not going to make that right. No, not me. I couldn't admit to that. Well, I pray that God will give you conviction then and humility, that he'll come on the scene and that he'll make you ashamed of the things that you've done. I'm ashamed of so many things that I've done, but I'm not ashamed of anything that he's done for me. I'm not ashamed of his word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ or of this message. Amen. I believe it. I stand for it. There's been plenty of times that I've been wrong. Oh, my. We don't want to have that testimony meeting. Everybody get up and say all the things they did wrong. Well, that's glorifying the devil. But I can tell you some things that God's did for me even when I was wrong. He found me when I was running. He chased after me, brought me back. Oh, young people, I always say you can come the easy way or you can come the hard way, but if you're God's, he'll find you somewhere. I've found that it's a lot easier just to come his way than to try to fight against it. Amen. Let's sing this together. Let's stand. I know you've been sitting for a while. Change positions. And I know normally we're dismissing in a couple minutes here, but let's just worship the Lord for a little while. He's worthy of it this morning. I think the musicians already knew what key I was going to choose, so I don't know if they know what song I'm going to sing or not. But oh, I was nearing despair when he came to me there, and he showed me that I could be free. Oh, then he led Aren't you thankful that he did this morning? Let's sing it to him with all our heart.
Oh, and he reached down his hand.
Oh, I don't know where he found you or what he had to do. Oh, but he reached way down for me. Oh, I was lost and undone without God or his son. That's when he reached down his hand for me. Oh, once my soul, it was astray from the head. Places that we come up short, Lord, we stumble and fall, we make mistakes, every one of us, if we'll be honest with ourselves, Lord, the communion service coming up tonight, Lord, there were things we had to ask you to forgive us for, so that we could even feel right coming and taking communion tonight. Oh, Lord, how the devil loves to take those things and try to beat us over the head with them, Father, but Lord, where we really need to focus on is, what is that nature on the inside of us to do? Is it just the things of the world? Is it just a desire of worldly things and things that please the flesh? Or is our desire, Lord, is it to you? Is it to serve you? Is it to do what's right? Lord, maybe some of us, Lord, maybe there's some here that they were so on fire for you at one point, and then they begin to feed that other nature, and they begin to stay home from church, and they begin to slack up on their prayer life, and the voice of the prophet became a stranger in their home, and they begin to just fall into more and more of the petting the flesh and doing things of the world and spending less time on their knees in prayer with you, more time doing other things. Father, Lord, if they ever really had an experience and that desire on the inside is truly to you, Lord, may you come and, Lord, refill them again this morning. Lord, may they begin to focus on the right things and spend time doing the right things, Lord. May they begin to feed the soul on the inside with things of the Word, Lord. May they spend more time on their knees than they do worrying about, Lord, how their body appears, Lord, physically, or doing their hair or whatever, Lord. We believe we should take care of those things, but Lord, don't let it not become an idol to us that we're so worried about our own flesh that we forget the soul. Lord, that's the eternal part. Lord, this body one day will be dust and we'll take on an immortal, glorified body. But Lord, I'm not worried so much about preserving this one as I am making sure that everything's okay in that soul, Father. Help us, Jesus. Help us to get our priorities straight. Lord, if there's any here that haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that nature is still just the things of the world, Father, may you come, Lord. May they receive you. May you fill them this morning, Father. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your grace and mercy to us. Lord, for those that have received it, but the devil's tried to beat them over the head because they've slipped and fallen here or there, Father, help them just to make it right and keep going forward in God. Lord, may the devil not get victory over them and keep them down and discouraged and their victory just gone all the time. But Lord, may they recognize just to make the thing right and move on with God. Help them, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your mercy. We love you this morning. Thank you for reaching down and picking us up. We were undeserving. We were unworthy. But we're so thankful, Father. Thank you for all that you do for us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning before we go. Oh, Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Oh, you have cleansed and made me whole. Lord, you touched me. My soul, I know I need you so. Oh, Papa.
It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi.
Amen. I know we've sang this a couple times recently, but had a request to sing it again, so we can always tell Satan he's a loser.
Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming. Amen. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, we're going to pray your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're going to pray your kingdom down. I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, we're going to shout your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're going to shout your kingdom down. I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, we're going to preach your kingdom down. Oh, I said, Satan, we're going to preach your kingdom down. I heard a voice up in heaven say, God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go. Oh, I said, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna pray your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna pray your kingdom down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard a voice up in heaven say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna sing your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're going to sing your kingdom down. I heard a voice up in heaven say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.